Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show. Carlos Ortiz alongside. It's great to be here tonight, and you can join the party. That's what it is, a party five nights a week on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. The NBA Finals are at halftime of game number five, and it is a 59-45 lead for the Thunder. This game has looked a lot more like what every game probably should have looked like. I think the Pacers have had a tremendous season. They are making some moments that will live forever. But I still think there is a talent gap between the Pacers and the Thunder. So this seems to be more in line with the kind of game that you would expect. But then keep in mind, back in game one, the Thunder, I believe it was a 12-point lead at halftime. It looked like, okay, this is how this series is going to go. Many people saying, wow, you got to do something about the Thunder. Not only have they won this series already, this is back in game one, people are saying this, but they've won multiple championships over the next few years. So the rush to judgment was very, very quick. And then, of course, the Pacers were down, you know, a dozen points and thought, okay, well, we can still try to make a run here and do what we do. We go down 15 points a bunch. That doesn't mean we're going to lose games. In fact, more than half the time, if that happens, we win games. And the Pacers came back, and you all remember how things went down with the Pacers getting the first lead for them with 0.3 seconds on the clock, and then they won and went up 1-0. This game, I think, feels a little different, but they're still just down 14. Now, the big story in tonight's game so far is Tyrese Haliburton has 0 points. And some of that could be attributed to a leg injury. He's dealing with a right leg injury, calf soreness, I believe it was. And he's had a right leg injury or different versions of something in his right leg throughout the series. At one point, there was some question, was he going to play game three? And he played game three and he looked fine. But now that is starting to rear its ugly head again. And again, he's got 0 points on 0 for 5 shooting through 24 minutes of the game. He's been in for 17 of them. But as we know, just because things look like they are going to go one way with the Indiana Pacers, the game is not over until it's 0.0 on the clock. Not 0.3, 0.0. This certainly feels different. It just feels different. It feels more Thunder dominance than, let's say, game one, where you could almost feel this coming back. So timestamp this, because either the Thunder are going to extend their lead here in the second half and maybe end this one relatively early, or the Pacers will find a way to come back as they've been known to do in each of the rounds of the postseason. So we'll keep our eyes on this, see how things go as they develop, and then break it down with you after the fact. The Stanley Cup happening over the weekend. Nothing yesterday. We had golf, but for these tournaments or these series going on, right? It's the NBA and it's the NHL, and they're both been really good. Both were tied 2-2. Florida winning on Saturday night 5-2. Maybe there should have been a game on Father's Day, you know, maybe. But it just didn't line up that way on the calendar. Instead, dads across the country got to watch the U.S. Open from 2008 because there was a rain delay. And so we all got to watch dominant Tiger Woods again for a few hours before J.J. Spawn won the U.S. Open. The only player that was under par. It was a course that nobody liked. The weather conditions weren't great, and one person under par, and that's all you need. Just need one to be the winner, and Spawn was able to do that. Again, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. It was a weekend dominated by trades that sort of came out of nowhere. We saw a trade in baseball, Rafael Devers getting traded from the Red Sox to the Giants. I saw this video where somebody was telling, there's like a group of dads all hanging out on a porch or a deck for Father's Day, and one of the daughters said, they're Boston fans, one of the daughters said Rafael Devers was traded, and they thought, like, because she was filming, so they thought this was some, like, TikTok trend, tell your dad that somebody got traded, and then make fun of them on the internet. And then throughout the video, they're just laughing and laughing, because no way would Rafael Devers get traded from the Boston Red Sox. I mean, he's still got 8 years left on this deal that the Red Sox signed him for just a couple of years ago. But no, he got traded for a haul that might be less than what you would think Rafael Devers would get traded for. And the Giants will pick up a new designated hitter that's been part of the contention between the Red Sox and Devers. And so that trade happening over the weekend, a big head scratcher. More on that coming up momentarily. The other one in basketball was a pretty sizable deal, and you may see a few more kinds of these trades just depending on who might be available, because if you're going to improve your team this year, a trade may need to be the way to do it other than the draft. The free agent market is not very strong. There'll be a couple of guys available, like a Brook Lopez, or I think Miles Turner is going to be an unrestricted free agent. Maybe Chris Paul. There's not a lot of names. There's a bunch of players that have player options. We'll see what happens with Julius Randle. Maybe Naz Reid, another one that could be. But there's not going to be this class of free agency isn't like one that we've been waiting for, one that teams clear cap for. It's just one where, all right, if you have a need and there's that player, if you can find the one-for-one fit, great. Other than that, if there's somebody that you want, you're going to have to go out and get them. And that's what the Orlando Magic did with the Memphis Grizzlies and Desmond Bane. Now, Bane has been one of these guys that's very good with Memphis, hasn't been an all-star or anything, but the price of these kind of guys are still going up. If you want not complimentary guys, but just like, you know, because they've got Wagner and they've got Banchero and they need another guy, another part of that puzzle, and a guy that can, you know, actually make some three-point shots. Bane last year made 51% of his open catch-and-shoot jumpers. The Magic finished 30th in the NBA, making 35% of their catch-and-shoot jumpers. So he brings an element of scoring that they severely need. And with the East being wide open with some of these injuries and some question marks around some of these other teams that then would be at the top, Desmond Bane to the Orlando Magic looks like a pretty good fit. Basketball-wise, this feels like, okay, the Magic might have something here. This feels like a really good fit, a really good compliment. They needed the one piece that they ended up going out and getting. So when we start to talk about the East, we're going to start to lump the Magic now in terms of a team that could contend, or that could even win the conference. You could look at their roster. You could look at some of these other teams' rosters. You could like their roster better, just how it's all going to shake out. But they added a piece that they needed, and that was a good trade for Orlando. Good to acquire him. They did give up a lot. So that's always the other part of the equation. For the Red Sox, they gave up Rafael Devers, and I don't know that they got a ton back that you would think that you would get back. It may have been more of a salary dump than anything, sort of felt NBA-like in its trade. And again, more on that with you guys here in a moment. But this trade, they got rid of a couple players, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Cole Anthony. Pope is 32, Caldwell-Pope's 32, Anthony's 25. Both have a couple of years left on their contracts. Anthony has a team option and KCP with the player option, but then a bunch of picks. So the pick this year, which will be pick number 16, the Suns pick that the Magic have, will then also go. So a 25 first round, a 26 first round, a 28 first round, a 29 first round, top two protected, but that probably, so it's not going to be top two, and then a 2030 first round pick. So two players and five first round picks in this deal. Now, one of those picks, just a quick aside, is a little weird. So here's how this goes in 2026, which is in a complicated pick swap. All right. So the worst case scenario is that it's just an unprotected first from Orlando, but the lesser of Phoenix or Washington's picks can be swapped with Orlando's pick in 2026. If the Wizards stay bad and the Suns don't get better, it's a potential late lottery pick for Memphis. However, it's also top eight protected on the Washington side. Thus, if we think the Wizards will be bad again, the Orlando swap can only happen if the Suns don't luck into jumping the Wizards on lottery night, resulting in the Wizards' pick swap being swapped with theirs. Memphis already owns another piece of this swap from a different trade, one that allows the Grizzlies to swap picks with whatever pick Phoenix has left after the Orlando swap, the same pick that was just traded to Memphis. So the Grizzlies now have the right to swap a pick with a pick they already own. I don't trust that anybody that heard that followed what I just said. And I don't follow what I just said. But it's very complicated and confusing about where the pick is going to actually come from, but it is involved in this deal. So my reasoning to read you that wasn't to help you understand. It was to show you that it's nearly impossible to understand, and that was a part of the pick that got sent in this deal. So very interesting subplot to this. I do also want to say one thing that I have to say. For as much as I've been talking about how Giannis Antetokounmpo is not going to be traded from the Milwaukee Bucks, and how ridiculous and how little of value people have been putting in some of these trade proposals for Giannis, could be fans, could be the media. We're now up to five first-round picks for Rudy Gobert, for Desmond Bane, for Mikal Bridges, like, for, okay, and these are all quality players, but we do all agree that Giannis would command more, yes? So if you're like, oh, the Knicks have enough, you don't. There's maybe the Thunder for sure do. The Spurs and Rockets might have packages that they could assemble for Giannis Antetokounmpo. Nobody else does. Unless the Bucks just like give up and punt. So if that's your scenario, that can be your scenario. The other thing we have to watch for, and it's sometimes it seems more imminent than other times, but Kevin Durant may be on the move. I guess he wanted to go to New York, or that was an option, but maybe New York's not as interested. Spurs are on the table. Rockets could be on the table. The Timberwolves, not so much on the table. Durant's not super interested in going there. One of the reasons that this matters is this is not like the last time he was traded when he had a bunch of years on his deal. He's still under that same deal, that same extension that he got, the contract that he got with the Nets, then traded to the Suns. He's got 1 year left. So if a team's going to trade for him, even though he's 37, they're still going to want to extend him, you would think. If you're going to give up assets for Kevin Durant, you want to make sure that, you know, you're giving up assets for a guy that you're going to have for a while. Does not seem to be giving the indication that he wants to be a part of the Minnesota Timberwolves organization. So that one may be off the table, even though maybe they could give them a decent package. So the Suns still trying to find and maneuver a way to possibly trade Kevin Durant. But back to the Magic. Again, this is an East that is going to be pretty wide open. Okay? Let's run through the East real quick. The Cavs, they looked really good. And now there's a bunch of questions about what they actually are. Is this a team that's going to come out flat in the playoffs again? What are they? Are they going to be the top dog? Is that who everyone's going to predict? Should we? Why? They had their opportunity, and they looked very poor. The Celtics, Jason Tatum's hurt. And this may give an opportunity for a new ownership group to come in and start to wheel and deal and say, all right, since Tatum's hurt and we're not going to be contending for a title, we don't want to pay all these guys everything that you have set up for us to pay, so we need to start making some deals. So they're going to look a lot different. The Knicks, all right, there's some good momentum there, but also they don't have a coach and seemingly no avenue of having a coach. What's that going to look like? Even when they hire someone, now it's going to be the first year of a guy. Sometimes we've seen that be successful. Sometimes we have not. The Pacers, of course, have gotten themselves two wins away from an NBA Finals championship. They're going to have to be a team that is looked at as a contender for next season to get back to this spot. Absolutely. As Tyrese Halliburton scores his first point of the game, 70-58. In favor of the Thunder. The Bucks, well, they don't have Damian Lillard, and the roster around Giannis is not great. It might be gap year is the word that's been thrown around, but it's certainly going to be a, all right, Giannis, let's go out there and play hard, but we all know we're not winning. The Pistons, maybe the Pistons look at what the Magic did and say, hey, we got to kind of keep up with that. I think the Pistons could continue to improve. The Magic, as we talked about, the Heat I've got no hope for, the Hawks I got no hope for, the Bulls will be 39-43, the Raptors I don't think are going to be much improved, the Nets have a bunch of cap space, but as we've been talking about, there's no one to spend it on. The Sixers could be interesting if Joel Embiid is healthy, so probably not. And then the Hornets and the Wizards just feel like they're going to be 19-win teams until we're all no longer around. So the East is very much wide open, and that's why the Magic thinking this is a strike that we can make. This is the opportunity for us to go ahead and do that. Now, there's another part of the equation here, and that, of course, is the Memphis Grizzlies. What are they doing? Because they've got Jaren Jackson Jr., who they're going to try to give an extension to, possibly. They've got Ja Morant. Now, are those guys tradable candidates? Are they doing a rebuild here in Memphis, or is it just let's do a little pivot, take some of these resources that we got, then resend them out for someone else, and we get out of Bane's salary because he's got a four-year, $160 million salary, and then find pieces elsewhere? There was a story done in April with The Athletic where I believe it's John Hollinger. He said that Memphis executives kind of see the salary extension as more of a problem than a positive, where it's just a lot of money they're tying up into that guy, even though he's good, but it's a non-all-star on a near-max deal, and you don't fit into a lot of the salary structures that you're trying to be competitive but maybe stay out of one of the tax aprons. So they kind of reset. They'll get a pick in the draft at number 16, and then they can see what they look like with these new guys, Anthony and KCP, or they can go ahead and, you know, try to make another deal and see what happens. So big trade in the NBA, big trade in the MLB, and we'll get into that one a little bit here in a few moments. As we keep an eye on this NBA Finals game, where it is now a 9-point game, and it's starting to feel a little different than maybe it did 15 minutes ago, as this is what the Pacers do. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll come on back. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Desmond Bane, he's already showed up in Orlando. I like when players show up in their new spaces with their new teams, because they like get introduced and there's always somebody there from the front office or a coach or a player to like welcome them, and they look around and they get to see the locker room and stuff. And then they always, doesn't matter what they're wearing, they always make sure to get a few shots up just for the, you got to have that part on the video, getting a few jumpers in in the new gym. And then I don't know how many he shot. I just saw him make one. I don't know if that was the first one or if there were several times. But, yeah, Desmond Bane's pretty good, and that's why they traded for him. So I'm sure he knocked it down no problem in an empty gym in street clothes. Desmond Bane getting traded from the Grizzlies to the Orlando Magic. 5 first-round picks and a couple players a part of the deal. Cole Anthony and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, who's now been a traveling man the last few seasons and really throughout his whole career, as TJ McConnell is making me nervous. It's a 7-point game, 75-68. I knew when I said this game felt different that that was a mistake. Because it did. The first half, it just felt like the Thunder were dominating. Now it's a 7-point game, 3 to go in the third. The other trade over the weekend, Rafael Devers traded from the Red Sox to the Giants. Now in the NBA, it's the time of the year where people get traded. Trades happen. It's probably unfortunate that all this other stuff is happening. Trades, Knicks coaching search. You know, there's like an NBA finals going on. They got to do something about that. We should be locked in on these NBA finals. That should be it. That should be the most of our conversation, but all this other stuff going on. So he gets traded to the Giants, and the Giants are picking up every single cent that is still on this big deal that he has for Jordan Hicks, who is a hard thrower. This year has had a tough year. He's got a 6.47 ERA. His expected ERA is like 3.98. There's stats that can try to figure that out. Basically, he's had some bad luck, but he is he's better than a 7 ERA pitcher. But when you make him up, Kyle Harrison, a lefty, he was scheduled to pitch last night. This trade came down like 10 minutes before Sunday Night Baseball between the Dodgers and the Giants. He's in the deal. James Tibbs, he was their 13th overall pick last year. First-round pick for the Giants. So he's currently in high A. And then Jose Bello is a 20-year-old pitcher, and he's in rookie ball. So two pitchers at the big league level, and then two guys that are prospects for Rafael Devers, who was the cornerstone of their franchise, could be a future Hall of Famer. And this, I think, immediately reminds people of when they traded Mookie Betts away. So part of the reason we got here is they gave him a big contract after they got rid of Mookie Betts and after they lost Xander Bogaerts to the Padres. He became the face of the Red Sox. They signed him to a 10-year deal for $313 million. So they signed him in a way to, you know, lock up one of their good young players, but also as a kind of like showing to the fans, like, okay, we're not totally cheap. We will retain some guys. And some of the justification was, you know, we gotta move on from Betts so that we can lock up Devers. That was at least some of the spin, some of the PR moves. This past spring training, because he's been their third baseman, so this past spring training, they sign Alec Bregman, and then they say, all right, Bregman's at third, Devers, can you be the designated hitter? And he didn't want to do that. And he started off poorly. He was 0-for-19 with 15 strikeouts as he's trying to get into a routine. He got into a routine and was doing very well as the designated hitter. I believe he homered yesterday, and the Red Sox just this was like the high water mark of their season. They just beat the Yankees. They win 5 in a row. Everybody's happy. But in this saga, now that he's moved to DH and still trying to get comfortable there, because it is a difference. I mean, you're doing less work. You're not on the field. But to engage yourself, it's just a different sort of process to engage yourself where all you're going to do is hit. So he's been doing that. And then they're like, actually, we need you to play first now. We got an injury at first. Can you go ahead and play first base? And he said, no, I don't want to do that. There was a tweet here from Chris Cotillo, I'm going to say. He writes for MassLive.com.
I'd love to hang out with him.
A source with knowledge of the Red Sox Devers relationship described it as an unsalvageable situation for both parties. Devers was frustrated with mixed messaging from different voices in the organization, felt like a scapegoat. The root was what the player felt was disorganized communication from the jump this year. And Carlos, I'd seen David Ortiz talk about it, where he was saying, look, I've talked to Devers about how to be the face of this franchise, and the calls that would get returned, he wasn't as interested in. It seems like this whole situation really did not sit well with the now San Francisco Giant.
Yeah, and listen, I know they paid him a lot of money, and a lot of people are going to be like, hey, shut up, you're making millions of dollars to play baseball and this, that, and a third. But there are fundamental differences between every position, even where you hit within a lineup. You have to change your approach on how to do things. I have no problem with Rafael Devers being, you know, somewhat disgruntled with Red Sox management, because you don't know what you're going to be put into when you're coming into work. Now, maybe he was being a little bit of a baby, because he's played third base his entire life. They signed Alex Bregman, and now, you know, Alex Bregman is a superior defender to Devers. You know, Devers is a solid third baseman. He's not Bregman. So I get the Red Sox saying, hey, listen, we value you. We want to make this change. We want to put you as a designated hitter. That should be fine. And I'll give an analogy to you in this. Same management says, Bart, we love you. We want to go in a different direction, though. We want to put you in Bill Ryder's spot. So you're going to do less work fundamentally, but now you're going to be on in the daytime. You got to change your approach, wake up a little bit earlier. The games are not as fresh because you're at 10 o'clock Eastern, right? So this is what you're doing. You're like, all right, begrudgingly, you'll do it, even though, you know, we'll hit Bill with the sweet chin.
Begrudgingly, I'm working two less hours a night, and I'm done by noon.
It's an analogy. Roll with me. So we move, or rather, you move. You get the 2-hour slot, and you're doing it for about a month. And they say, you know what, Bart? You sound too good at just 2 hours. We want to put you back in 4 hours, but we want to give you a Pat Boyle spot.
Oh.
So now you start 4 hours later than what you originally did.
Where's my boy Pat go?
I don't know. Pat moves up to this old spot. Who knows? Things happen. But that's the comparison. Like, you were asked to do less. You change your approach. Now you're asked to do something else that you're not comfortable with doing, that was worse than what you were originally doing in the first place. Because playing first base is a completely different animal than playing third base. And of course, designating hitting. Now you actually got to get back into a field in a position that you're not comfortable with. You're not set up for success. Some people want to say, hey, he's not being a team player. Dude, I totally understand it. If you go in there and you think you're going to stink because you don't know what to do, you're going to stink. And with the amount of money that you make, it's not fair for you to be put in something that's suboptimal. So now he's the Giants' problem, and they still kind of have a little thing in third base as well, because Matt Chapman's on the IL. So maybe you stick Devers there for now, but he hasn't played third base all year. And then when Chapman comes back, he's a much better third baseman defender than Devers is. So Devers is going to go back to designated hitter anyway. So I don't know. Maybe Boston just decided, hey, let that be San Francisco's problem, addition by subtraction. But if it wasn't for the Luka trade, this might be the worst trade we've had so far in the year.
Yeah, the return's not great. It's going to be hard if you're a Red Sox fan to be sold on it, especially because, you know, things were going better. You just beat the Yankees. You have a nice little win streak here. You feel good about it. This is one of those trades where the Red Sox, like, I always see this after trades. I always see the, oh, well, there's got to be another move coming. There never is. There never is. When you see a bad trade, you get stunned by it and shocked, and you try to talk yourself into, there's got to be another move coming, and there never is. I think another thing that bothers me in this situation, or that, you know, you can look at that bothered Devers, I should say, is he was being told to do all these things. And while he may have an issue with that, I think also the way that he was being told, the communication, he'd hear one thing from somebody and then another thing from another person, or he thought it was a resolved issue and then it came back up again. So I think the communication has kind of been bothersome to him. I tend to think, look, if they're going to tell you to play, help out and play first base, I don't think like, oh, you have to do it because they're making you. I feel like you should want to try to help out the team where you can. He did not feel that way. He did not feel like he had to do that. And so ultimately, this relationship did deteriorate. and now he is with the San Francisco Giants. One other thing I just want to say that's totally unrelated to this, but I have to say it with my mouth. TJ McConnell, what the hell is this and why? Do people – here's something that I wish I was better at that I'm not. When players are average and then at the biggest stage become great, I don't think that's cool. I think that gets me mad because why can't you be like that all the time? You know what I mean? To watch TJ McConnell run through this defense like he's Kobe Bryant – is really confusing me and frustrates me. And another part of my ire against the Pacers. He's got 18 points. He's cutting them up. What the hell's he doing? All right, we're at the end of three. Who's winning this game, Carlos?
Please be the Thunder.
I mean, does it feel like it's starting to maybe
it,
not
it feels
be?
Like this is what the Pacers want to do. This is what they do. We're within single digits again, right where we want
15 at half. It's 8 now. It's that magic 15 they like. It's that magic 15. All right. 888-710 for ISN. A little more on that and everything else. Here's an update, and here is Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Pagese, right wing for the win! Yes!
The biggest voices in sports.
He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants.
The heartbreak.
And he misses it. That's impossible.
The celebrations.
Got him swinging! That's it! It's a World Series!
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
Right, it is the Bulletin Blitz. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Back to work for all of us drones. It is Monday, June 16th, 2025. The Bulletin Blitz gets you the audio of the day. And on Mondays, we try to get the audio of the weekend as well. And it's actually where we're going to start here because this was yesterday. Dave Roberts, manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, spoke about Shohei Ohtani pitching tomorrow, which is today, and it's a little bit earlier than I thought. Here is Dave Roberts.
I don't know if it's going to be one or two innings, but, you know, my guess is probably an inning to start. But it's a good thing. I think that we've kind of, the live situation simulated or whatever, it's sort of run its course. So he's ready to make his debut on the mound.
Well, we got an answer to that question. As he pitched one inning, 28 pitches, gave up two hits, and a run. So his ERA has ballooned up to 9. He was hitting about 99-100. So is he in the rotation now? Is he just an opener? When do we work him back up to full game?
I don't think we get a full game out of him until after the All-Star break. They're really going to have to stretch him out.
I'm kind of surprised then that they threw him in to begin with. Although, I guess if you go live batters, what's the next step? But I don't know. I thought the plan was you start him, you're going to start him. But no, he's just your lowly opener, Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, reason for that is because you got all these starters that are already banged up. It reeks of desperation for a team that has all the resources that it has. So I'm a little surprised.
I mean, it looks like it's just a position player pitching tonight. Right? Nothing special about this tonight.
Right. This is something like Shohei should have been pitching if they were down by like 9.
I mean, I guess throwing 100, though, is, you don't see the Jet Bandies of the world doing that.
No, that's a straight up fact. Let's go to the crosstown. Well, not crosstown. I'm sorry. Let's go to the cross state rivals of the Dodgers, and that'd be the San Francisco Giants. News of the weekend when it comes to baseball is a shocking, stunning trade out of Boston that sends Rafael Devers to the Giants in exchange for Jordan Hicks and a bunch of dudes. Because that's how I'm going to classify the trade. I don't think it was a great return at all. But it is a pure salary dump for Boston. The Giants will take every bit of that contract. So I guess that's good news if you care about that. But here's Giants shortstop Willie Adames. This was last night during Sunday Night Baseball. He talks about adding Rafael Devers to the lineup courtesy of ESPN.
Everybody's so excited, man. I mean, me personally, I'm like, thrill, man, to have him on the team. Obviously, he's one of the best hitters in the game, and to have him in the team, I think it's going to help us, you know, to do a lot of damage in this division. And obviously, we need a bat like him in this lineup. So now when we get Choppy back in the lineup, it's going to be exciting.
It's pretty crazy that we were talking about this trade deadline and, you know, what was even going to be the biggest name that would be moved. Nobody had Rafael Devers on their radar, even with some of the dissension in Boston. Oh, except for you.
Yeah, no, I thought it was almost a fait accompli. He was going to be gone. Of course, selfishly, I wanted the Cubs to get him because they tried to get Bregman. It wasn't a competitive offer. They could use a veteran third baseman that can slug. I think Devers would have been perfect. But, you know, Tom Ricketts needs to break even. That's what he does.
Well, the Red Sox are just like the East Coast Cubs then.
No, I mean, they're they are penny pinching. But see, the Cubs are trying to get even. Boston is trying to save money because they're about to pump in money into Liverpool or whatever soccer franchise that they own. Like, Boston's ownership is shady with what they're doing with their money.
Dude, the Thunder are really pissing me off.
Oh, it's so aggravating.
They just wasted all this time to overturn a call and just gave the ball away.
Yeah. This game is way too close for my liking. 9:54 left if anybody is going to put it on, but turn on the show in the background. We need the ratings. Let's go to the Stanley Cup Finals. The Panthers will knock off the Oilers in Game 5. It was pretty much over in the first period. Another 3-0 lead. Calvin Pickard just really got worked. It's his first loss in the postseason. And the Panthers are just getting dominated overall. I'm sorry, the Oilers are getting dominated overall. Let's hear a back-to-back here. Let's get the head coach from Edmonton, Chris Knobloch, on what went wrong and if they can overcome, which they need to because their backs are against the wall, and head coach for the Panthers, Paul Maurice, on what it's going to take to win that final game.
Getting behind, obviously, is tough, and you can only do it so many times against this team. And, you know, I thought we had a good start, and, you know, we didn't capitalize on our early chances and made a couple mistakes. Obviously, they capitalized. Knowing that we're in a difficult situation, win our last two games, is something that we're confident that we can do that.
Today is today, and we won't deal with it tomorrow. Handle your day. We handle our day today, and we've got a travel routine. We're going to run the exact same routine. We got a day off the next travel. Just handle your day. That's all.
So my Oilers in six is shot.
Yep.
This thing wrapping up tomorrow?
It really feels like it might. I mean, this was somebody that had Oilers in seven. They're going to need to play, honestly, like there is no tomorrow because there isn't. The problem is, they've been getting dominated in the first period basically every game in this series. If it's not for Leon Draisaitl and Calvin Pickard, you know, holding them intact in game four, this thing would have been wrapped up already. The Panthers would have won in five. Connor McDavid has been an absolute no-show. Now, he finally scored, but it's like a day late and a dollar short. Like, you're in a hole right now. Leon Draisaitl has been carrying the Oilers. I don't see how in Florida the Oilers are going to be able to win this game, but they're going to have to, obviously, if you want to force a Game 7, and that may miss my predictions back on the table. But I think we do wrap it up tomorrow. The Stanley Cup will obviously be in the building.
Carlos, if they do it again, I have really struggled to maintain my sanity. My professionalism's been cooked when the Pacers have had these comebacks. If they do it again tonight, this may be the end of an era of Bart Winkler on the radio.
By end of an era, you mean what exactly?
Well, I'm for sure going to swear.
Well, I have the dump button, so you can't. You can always swear. You just can't swear for like 30 seconds straight because I can only dump you three times.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
Oh, well, then I'll just turn your mic off at the 30. I have the power. See, you are the show, but I have the power. Let's go to the other Indiana team, not named the Pacers. How about the Indiana Fever? Caitlin Clark came back. She hands the Liberty their first loss, final score 102-88. Here's Caitlin Clark returning from injury.
Yeah, I mean, they were all in transition, so I felt like I was kind of running around fast to try to get them off. I think the third one, I ran all the way to the corner, then ran all the way back up top, then dribbled a few times, and then finally got it off. That takes it out of probably anybody. Like I said, I felt really good out there.
She was great. Did you see what happened to somebody online? Said that 21 million people watched the game, and then Google picked it up. All these websites picked it up.
No way.
Yeah. I mean, WNBA games will get about 1.52, and they're happy. 21 million is like divisional round numbers for the NFL.
Yeah, that's insane. I'm like, I mean, like, I'm sure a lot of people were excited to see Caitlin Carr come back. She had 32 points, by the way. She needed, I think, what, two more assists and a steal or something to get triple double. She was close. She balls out, but no way that we're getting that kind of number.
All right, well, tonight we got 95-90. There's 9 minutes left in the game. What kind of night is this going to be, Carlos? What kind of night is this going to be?
I think we're going to celebrate.
Because one or two things are happening. We're either playing celebration again. Or
I lied. We're going to lose.
What just happened?
I'll wait for you to catch up.
Oh, my God. This can't be. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.